Right. Good evening. My name is Steve. I haven't done this in a long time. I haven't given a lesson in quite a while. So for those of you who don't know me too well, my name is Steve. I do a bunch of things around here at church. I have three sons, Eli, Luke, and Christian's the oldest. I'm a special ed teacher at an elementary school. So this year I have fourth and fifth graders. Little bit of difficulties with reading and math, so I'll work with them in a small group. I coach baseball, do lots of cool things. One of the things about me is I'm hearing impaired. I have hearing aids. Interesting story about that. They didn't find out until I was in kindergarten. And I kept on saying, what, to my mom? And she's like, oh, something's going on here. And it turns out that when I was born, I was really, really tiny. And they gave me oxygen. And a certain percentage of oxygen could have burned the retinas of my eyes. I would have been blind. Fortunately, that didn't happen, but it did damage the nerves in my ears. So I wear hearing aids. They help somewhat, but I think it's something that I've had my whole life, and it's taught me to depend on God more. Okay? So we are going to take a look at one of the essential doctrines or teachings of the church tonight. This is going to be big stuff. Silas gave me this, and to do this in 20 minutes is a totally impossible task because it's something really hard and complicated to learn about. Okay, so I'm going to do my best, and hopefully it'll be beneficial, and we'll learn something about God and who he is. All right, so before I do, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to open up your word. And may you open up our hearts and minds to your truth and help us to know you more and to know how much you love us and how good you are and how gracious you are to us. And be with each and every one of us tonight. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at doctrine or the teaching of something called the Trinity. Okay. It's a really hard concept because there's nothing in the world that we can compare it to. Every time you try to make a comparison to the Trinity, it's going to fall apart, and we'll go over some of those shortly. But it's hard to understand. Cell phone. What can we do on our cell phone? What can we do with a cell phone?
Watch Netflix.
Shout it out. Anything.
Order food.
Call.
Watch YouTube.
Nope.
Oh, God.
Text. Call.
Read the Bible.
Oh, yes, taxes. I got on a plane with this. I got on an airplane. I just showed him my phone and then let me on an airplane. What else?
Order McDonald's.
Okay. You can send a text message. You can call somebody. There's no wires. Anybody truly understand how exactly all of this works and every aspect and facet of it? I don't. Okay. But I know that it works and there's technology behind it, and I trust, but I can't explain it. I don't know myself. So there's things in the Bible that we're not going to fully understand. Nobody fully understands everything that God has done and shows us. Only what he reveals to us in his word. And that's okay. We're not going to understand everything because we have human finite minds. And God is infinite and knows everything, okay? So it's something that we learn about, we read, we trust, but we're not going to know it fully, and that's okay. We can have faith in it based on what God has revealed in his word. So the Trinity, triune, tri. You think of a tricycle, a trilogy, the Star Wars trilogy, the original one. Had three movies, Tricycle 3, Triangle 3. So the doctrine of the Trinity has the number 3 in it, but also 1. Christians believe that we believe in one God. This is where it gets a little weird or strange. But that one Godhead consists of 3 distinct persons. And that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're different, but they're in union with each other. And that's existed forever, since the beginning, before eternity passed, before we were made, before humans were made, in eternity past, Christians believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed in union. And we're going to take a couple of, look at a couple of verses about that. We haven't looked at our Bibles much, so pass out some Bibles. You can share a few of them. And first thing that I want to quickly look at, I'm going to look at a few verses, and turn to page 1. Genesis 1. This isn't the best example, but there's many examples in the Bible that talk about this. By the way, I forgot to mention the word Trinity actually isn't even in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But time and time again, it shows us itself within the different verses. First thing that we're going to look at is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. Does anybody want to read that?
In the beginning.
It's just page 1, Genesis 1, first 3 verses. And by the way, this is the most widely known passage in all of literature in the history of the world. Okay? The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And this is where most people start. So this is 1:1. Got it?
Period. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Okay, so right there, you have God the Father. And then in creation, if you notice it in verse 2, what was hovering over the face? What did it say?
The Spirit.
Okay, so that's the Spirit of God. That's an evidence of the Holy Spirit there. Okay, jump down to verses 26 and 27. Same chapter. That's towards the end of that page. And who would like to read 26 and 27 and pay particular attention to the pronouns here? Okay, let us, who's the us? It has to be more than one, right? Okay, so there's evidence, I believe, in the Trinity right there. Talking in unison. This is before he created, let us. So that shows that there's more than one here. In our own image. Okay, but let's go back. One of the foundational principles that we believe in is that there is one God. In Deuteronomy, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So how can this be true? How can it be one and three at the same time? It's confusing. It's in our minds, it's hard to understand. That's okay. Okay. There's evidence throughout the Old Testament. Okay, the Bible is broken up into Old and New Testament. And there's the Old Testament is kind of like a dimly lit room, if you want to think about that, where you can kind of get glimmers and senses of it. And there's verses here and there that would show that. In Psalm 110, David says, the Lord says to my Lord. He's talking about two lords there. Okay, so it's basically God the Father and God the Son. That's one evidence of it. In Isaiah, here's a really famous one that you hear at Christmas time. Okay. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Does anybody know who they're talking about there in Isaiah?
Jesus.
And we read that at Christmas time because that's pointing to Christ. And here in the Old Testament, that's showing that God, or Jesus, is referred to as Mighty God. Okay. So there's different evidences of this. I want to take a quick look. We have God the Father. We have God the Son, Jesus. And let's just spend a minute talking about Jesus real quick. in history and in the Bible, by the way, there's thousands of places that say God the Father is God in the Bible. Hundreds of places that say that Jesus is Lord. And there's scores of places that say the Spirit is God. So talking about Jesus, when I was in college, I had a biology professor, and somebody asked him about Jesus. And he said, no, I think Jesus was, he was a good man. He'd be surprised if people actually worshipped him. He was just a good man. He was a good teacher. And that kind of struck me. It's like kind of weird. It's kind of like impossible. Because Jesus recognized in the Bible countless times that he was God. Did you ever see The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? See the movie? Okay, or see the read the book. In it, there's a part where Lucy, a little girl, goes through a closet, and she goes through and she's reaching for the back, getting further and further in, and she finds this magical world. And she goes all through it and has all these adventures, and it's incredible and it's amazing. She somehow comes back, and she tells her brothers and sisters, and they're really concerned. It's like, this is weird. Like, Lucy's talking about these strange things. They go to an old professor. And they say, there's something wrong with Lucy. Like, professor's like, oh, that's interesting. Is Lucy mad? Is she look like she's crazy? No, she's like, she's fine. She's not mad, she's not crazy. Does Lucy tell a lot of lies? Is she truthful or does she lie all the time? No, she always tells the truth. And the professor said something really weird. He said, well, if she's not crazy, she's not losing her mind, she's not a liar, you have to assume she's telling the truth. Right? And there's a similar parallel with Jesus. Okay? You can't call him a good teacher only and a good man because he claimed to be God. So either he was crazy, he was a lunatic, he actually thought that he was God, right? So you can either call him a lunatic, he's crazy, or he was evil. He knew, obviously, he was not God, and he tricked everybody, and he was a liar. That's the other option. So if you don't want to call him a lunatic, you don't want to call him a liar, the only other option is he wasn't crazy. He was God, and he's the Lord, right? You can't just call him a good man because there's time and time again, there's scripture in here. There's time where Thomas worshiped Jesus and gave him worship, and Jesus accepted that in the Bible. And it's just further and further evidence that Jesus was God. And again, the Holy Spirit, talking about that. Keep track on time again. This is a big concept and trying to cram in a lot of ideas in one lesson. But speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus gives to us, that lives inside of us, and that convinces us that he's real and he's true, and changes our heart to make us more like Christ. And that's how God and the union works. That's shown in the Bible. Now, there's different teachings about the Trinity that people would say, oh, it's really like this, or it's really like that. Here's some examples that aren't really right. A cherry pie. You have a pie, and you cut it in three sections. One's the God, the Father, one's the Son, one's the Holy Spirit. Well, that doesn't work because God, the Father, is a one-third of God, and Jesus is a one-third of God. They're all completely God. Again, it's hard to understand, okay? But that's okay. Here's another one. Some people would say that God basically wears different masks. And at the beginning, he was God the Father, this, like, old authoritarian guy, like, setting down the rules. wears a mask like that, and then he goes in, and then he turns on the mask, and he's Jesus, and he's loving Jesus, and he saves everybody, and then he goes up to heaven, and he puts a different mask on, and he's now the Holy Spirit. Again, that's not what the Bible teaches, because we believe, and the Bible teaches, that it's not three separate at different times, but in eternity, God the Father always exists, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit always exist for all times. The last one that I wanted to mention is water. Some would say that the Trinity is like water. God the Father is like this, put it in the freezer, it turns to ice. God the Son is like that, and it can turn to vapor. And God the Holy Spirit is like that. Three in one, right? No, because they're not that way at the same time. Right? You can't have water, steam, and ice all at the same time, right? But with God, our Trinity that we believe in, it is. So all of this is to say that any kind of analogy that you can make with our human minds is basically going to fall apart. Because what else in all of the universe do we have that can compare with it? All right. They actually had different people that would believe some of these things. And some of you, raise your hand if you go to a different church. All right, okay. Some of you go to different churches. And I had a song that I was growing up that I would sing at church each week. And I just learned that the people that believed some of these other things that I just mentioned, over hundreds of years ago, they would fight each other. And there'd be along a river. And they would like mock them. They would mock the people that believed in the Trinity, the Christians. And they would have these like fight songs. Well, the Christians came up with their own fight song. And their fight song was, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end." Oh, man. And I was like, that Christian fight song. Anybody ever hear that or seen that in church? Mm-hmm. Okay, Gloria Patri. Okay. So, again, let's ask God to open up our minds and hearts to try to understand this a little more. But for eternity, we have three distinct persons that are in union. That is one God that loves us. I'm going to leave you off with just one more thought that I thought was profound. I hope I can explain it in a way that makes sense. So think about before people were made, and it's just God. If God was just one without the Holy Spirit and the Son, if it was just, say, the Father, how would God know what love is when there's nobody else to love? But he's sovereign. He has to know everything, right? But there would be no one to love. He would actually be dependent on people to know what love is. God can't be dependent on anyone. So I believe that the picture and this teaching, even though it's confusing, shows us and proves to us that for eternity, God was in perfect harmony and unity and relationship with each other. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they loved each other. And that's how they set the plan to save all of us who believe in him and trust in him. And that's how we know what love is. So just something I was struck by. Again, it's my prayer that you think about these things, because this is important, thinking about what it is that we believe about what the Bible says, who God is, and how he loves us. So with that, I'm going to close in prayer and then ask you a couple questions. Father God, we ask that you, again, with this hard teaching, challenging teaching, just convince us your truth and your ways about who you really are. God, the eternal Father, God, the precious Son that died for our sins and rose again, and God, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us and convinces us of your truth and your love and changes us to be more like you and who has saved us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a confusing thing. Hopefully it jogs some thoughts in your head. What we're going to do is break up into two or three. We have about 10 or 15 minutes. So break up in two or three and see if you have any questions about the Trinity. Something that's confusing. Questions that popped in your head, and share that with each other. I'll challenge you to do something. Maybe think about pairing up with somebody that you've never paired up before. I'm not going to force it. Okay. But we're here to get to know each other, so it's something that we could do. And then let's close and do what we did last week. Share a couple things that you're thankful for, maybe one thing that you are concerned about, and spend a minute or two praying. Okay? So we're going to have a leader kind of go with each group, and you can spread out down here or upstairs.